Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Dr. Scovel, for a tremendous music program. I hope you do not take this music program for granted. A lot of churches would like to have what you have here and rejoice that you can have that in the Lord. Again, I remind you that there's only one of me to get to know, but there are several of you. And so if you could just kind of give me, I may ask your name 8 or 9 times, but eventually I'll get it down. And I pastored a church about 650 for 20 years, and I knew everyone, but it took me 20 years to do it. And I'm not going to be here 20 years, so you have to understand that. And then since then, we have done interns. This is number 5 for us. Matter of fact, this is where I met the James and Susanna. And Susanna and James, I performed their marriage ceremony. And I encouraged them to come to Ambassador. I think you were talking about some college up in New York, weren't you? You don't remember? Where? Wisconsin? Okay, well, that's near New York. But anyway, but the Lord brought him here, and I'm just so glad. And that little fellow named Titus, he's sharp. He already knows the Greek alphabet, so pray for them as they are in the ministry here. Take the Word of God this morning, and I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians. And I would suggest you get used to that, because I'm going to be speaking somewhat for several weeks, Lord willing, or my length of time here. Now, let me say this to you. My job is to work myself out of a job. I don't plan on being here real long, because God needs to give you that full-time pastor. And I don't want to be as long as I was in Michigan. I was there lacking 1 week, being a year, in the worst winter they had in the longest time, and it was snowing in May. No, it should never snow in May anywhere, but that's what I had to put up with. And they have a picture of us with my wife shoveling snow away from the tires. We had that picture taken, but I actually helped her. I want you to know that. All right. Now, as we go to this chapter, as you know, I think of Romans, which is we're getting into the epistles. Romans is a great doctrinal book, is it not? Then I go to 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and that is a great book on discipline. Then you go to the book of Galatians, and that's a great book on deliverance, freedom in Christ Jesus. But you come to this book. It's a book of devotion. As a matter of fact, over there, John on the Isle Patmos left, they took him from Ephesus and put him on the Isle Patmos. So it was from Ephesus. And the first letter that he wrote was to the church at Ephesus, because they had left their first love. And I want to talk a little bit about that. Now, I want to talk today about living in the place of God's blessings. And I want to deal just with those first three verses, verse 1, 2, and 3, but I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to start with verse 3. Then we'll go back to verse 1 and then conclude with verse 2. But I want you, as I talk about the place of God's blessings, oftentimes I will hear people pray an unusual prayer. I've done it myself. Lord, bless so-and-so, bless so-and-so. Do you ever pray that? Well, let me think that one through a little bit. We cannot be blessed unless we're in the place of God's blessings. And a lot of times we get a little flippant about thinking about that. But I come over here to verse 3, and 3 times in that verse, because here we deal, first of all, with the place of spiritual blessings. And then we're going to look at the people of spiritual blessings. They're saints. Aren't you glad you're a saint? I'm St. John the Baptist. My name is John. I'm a Baptist, and I'm a saint, and I'll deal with that. And then we see the product of those spiritual blessings, and that is grace and peace. A lot to look at in this verse, these 3 verses. Now, we find in verse 3, blessed. Now, that word blessed is a very important word. It means to celebrate with praise. To celebrate with praise. Now, the Christian is the only one I know who can celebrate with praise. But we find a lot of God's people are not celebrating praise. They have lost their joy. They have lost their enthusiasm. They have lost what they need because they have not visited the other world. We said three times in this verse, blessed be the God, here's the word blessed, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed it. There's a second time. Now that tense of the verb there is in the aorist tense. It means a completed act. And a completed act is a permanent fact. That we are blessed, but sometimes we do not recognize those blessings because we don't live where we need to live. With all spiritual blessings, three blessings. And so he deals with those. And where are those blessings? They're in heavenly places. Now, living in the place of God's blessings, the book of Ephesians is about living in the other world while enduring this world. You know, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. But I wonder, in my body and in my life, I have to live here, but in my spirit, I can live in the other world. Are you familiar with that thought? See, you're made up of a triunity. Are you aware of that, aren't you? Anybody want to tell me what that triunity is? Just say it to me if you know what it is. What is it? Oh, you're shame on you. You said the three, but you said it wrong. It's not body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says what? That your whole what? Spirit, soul, and body. Isn't it interesting that we put so much emphasis on the body that we miss the place of God's blessings? It's in the other world, in the other place. Now, the only part of you, now I am saved, but I'm not totally saved. Now you say, oh, I don't think we want to vote that guy in as our pastor. You're not totally saved either, Brother Joe. That body you have is not saved. It will be when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back. But the part of you and I that is saved is our spirit. The spirit itself beareth witness with our what? Our spirit, that we are the children of God. That spirit is the part of you that communes with God and takes you to that other world. Now that word spiritual, heavenly places, literally, is in the heavenlies. In the heavenlies. In the heavenlies. So we find out the place of spiritual blessings is, first of all, in the heavenlies. Now, I think if I could have you just leave there for a moment and go there to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter there, and you see something there, because in the heavenlies. Now, look there in verse 2. Paul is talking about an experience that he had many years before. He said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such as one caught up to the third heaven. Did you know there are three heavens? There is the first heaven, is the heaven of the atmosphere. You can look up, you can see the atmosphere. You touch it, here's the atmosphere. Then you have the heavens of astronomy. Now, I didn't say astrology. I said astronomy. That's where the stars and the planets, and the more powerful telescopes that man develops, the more he comes to the conclusion, we can't count the stars. Well, God already told him that in the Bible. And then you'd only have the heavenlies of the atmosphere and the heavenlies of the astronomy, the planets, but you have, more importantly, the heavens of the Almighty, the throne of God. And when Paul was caught up to the third heaven, and my prayer is today that we get caught up to the third heaven. I don't mean in our bodies, but I mean in our spirit, that we get caught up to that place. You know, the Apostle Paul, as he deals with this, jump over there to verse 9. He said unto me, in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. More gladly, therefore, whether I glory in my infirmities, the infirmities are what you have in this world, but the grace of God is in the other world. The power of Christ may rest upon me. That's the other world. I pray today that we'll be otherworldly people, otherworldly people. Come to that place in our spirit where we take time. Listen, I'm convinced today that the devil has us all so busy that we have no time to visit the world that we need to visit and spend some sweet time in that other world. Somebody said, if you want to be discouraged, just look around. If you want to be depressed, just look in. If you want to be defeated, look to your past. And if you want to live the victorious Christian life, look up. For you will be delivered. There's a deliverance waiting for you and waiting for me in the heavens. You do that through meditation. You do that through this word. You do that as he... And so he talks about here in the book of Ephesians, the place of spiritual blessing. You're not going to find any blessings on this earth in the area of really going to mount this anything. Somebody wins maybe the lottery, they think they've been blessed. My neighbor one day came over to me and he said, John, he said, I promised God that if I ever won the lottery, I'd tithe it. And he wanted to give me his tithe. Well, I couldn't take it. He looked at me and he said, you're not going to take this, are you? I said, no, I don't think I can. He said, listen to what he said. He said, I didn't think you would. I think he was testing my Christianity. Because you see, when you live in the other world, in your spirit, in your meditation, in your thought life, you don't need that. Go back with me to our text in Ephesians. So if you want to be discouraged, you know, people today, somebody said we got four more years of this and that, this going on and this, and that's God's problem. By the way, I'll make sure you understand something. God made the final vote who would be president. Maybe today we need to realize God never makes a mistake, but he's doing something far beyond our understanding. I think tonight, but when things go so well today, we just don't need God. I think God is telling the Christians we had better get into the other world. In the heavenlies. You ever been depressed? I've been there. You ever been discouraged? I've been there. It's because we need to go to the other world. I don't remember not too long ago. I was so low I could spit on the door and slide into the spit on the floor and slide into the door. I was low. And I got with God. And I visited the other world. Pardon me, I walked away, Baptistical. God put joy back in my soul, what I needed. But notice in this passage there in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it is not only in the heavenlies, but it is in Him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. In other words, in the heavenlies. Where? In Christ. Not only in the heavenlies, but in Him. Would you underline that little thought, that little preposition, I-N-N? It is the biggest little word in the Bible, particularly in this chapter. Very interesting. Right here in chapter 3 through chapter verse 14, that's the longest chapter and the longest verse in the Bible. I mean, that sentence goes on and on and on and on and on. 12 verses. And in that you'll find that little two-letter word, the biggest little word, I think, in the Bible. It's the place of our position. It's the place of our provision. It's the place of our power. It's the place of our potential. It's the place of our possibilities. It is all in Him. Make sure we understand something. I do not know, I do not have any idea how many is in this congregation this morning. But I do know how many is in the audience. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And make sure we understand something. It's all about Him. And when we make the church all about Him, and we make our lives all about Him, we get the focus off of ourselves. You know, the biggest problem of this church, go home and look in the mirror. It's you, it's me, not the other guy. It's the guy in the mirror. It's the girl and the mule. And I am praying that we will visit the heavens in Him. When I go over, that little book has, Ephesians has a companion book called the Book of Colossians. And turn there for just a moment to the third chapter of the Book of Colossians. Colossians is a companion book. In Colossians, he talks about the body of which Christ is the head. In the book of Ephesians, he talks about the head which Christ is the body. And so we see, but we go to Colossians chapter 3. Again, I hope you have maybe a pencil handy there, because there are three words in this. Notice, if you be then risen with Christ, by the way, that word if also has the idea since. Since you've been risen with Christ. There's no doubt here. But are you practicing that resurrected life? If you've been risen with Christ. Now there's three statements. Notice in verse 1, with Christ. Let's read it. If you've been risen with Christ. Underline that. That's not where I want y'all. Here it is. If you've been risen with Christ, here it go. Seek those things where Christ. That's the phrase I want you to underline. Where Christ. You're going to find here, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the throne of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on this earth. What are your affections? What are your affections? By the way, that will be turned, well, if you've really been visiting the other world or not. We must get that. I think of that word affections, I think of the heart, don't you? I have great affection for my wife, even though she's sick. And I won't touch her until she's well. We don't even hug right now. You know, I don't call her, hello, sweethead. I say what? Sweetheart. Because that's where the affections go. And when I think of that word heart, I think, set your affection. Where Christ? Set your affections on things above. We've got to get a hold of the heart of God in order for God to get a hold of our heart. And if we don't get a hold of the heart of God, He can't get a hold of our heart. But I want you to, I'm going to go back to that in just a moment, but go over to the longest chapter in the Bible. See if you got that. You all get that? How many are still looking for it? Psalm 119. Longest chapter of the Bible. I had a fellow I led to Christ. And we're going to baptize him. And he said, well, he was real nervous. He said, what do you do at a baptismal service? I said, well, we put you under. Then we read the 119th Psalm and bring you up. Well, I was, of course, kidding, but I didn't realize he was going to take me serious. Well, that night he come and I said, what have you been doing? He said, practicing how to hold my breath. Well, I explained to him that I wasn't about to do that. But I come over to the 119th Psalm and I look at verse 70. You see, that affection deals with the heart of God. In order for God to get a hold of our heart, we've got to get a hold of the heart of God. I'll tell you what, there's some folks here who have a fat heart. Look there in verse 70. The heart is what? Look at verse 70, Psalm 190. Isn't that an interesting verse? The heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. Now, my wife is a very much of a health person, even though she's sick right now. And how many like fried chicken? She makes it for me maybe twice a year. It's not good for you to eat all that grease. And she's not here today, and don't tell her I said this, but when she's gone someplace, I just go down and someplace and get me some fried chicken. And she'll say, what did I eat? I said, it was a great meal. And she says, you ate the wrong thing. Now, this is a spiritual truth here. Obviously, if you eat a lot of things that are greasy, it's going to affect your what physically? What's it going to affect? And if you eat of the junk of this world, and your affections are set upon this world, it's going to put a layer of spiritual grease across your spiritual heart. Now, let me tell you something. There has to be a blasting away of that before there can be a blessing coming into it. And so God wants to blast away. And you know what, God? Sometimes is going to put trials in your life and trials in my life. You ought to thank God for every trial that comes in your life. You know what he's doing? He's doing some blasting so he can do some blessing. I'll tell you something. I've had a lot of blasting in my life because sometimes we think we get so important. God says we have to. You know, we're nothing. You know what a nothing is, don't you? That's a zero with the rim knocked off. That's all we are. We need to recognize the truth of that. I'll go back to our text here, to Colossians 3. So wear Christ, set your affections. The problem, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. How's your heart today? Is there a layer of grease where your affections are so set on this world, you've not visited that place for a while? Your own meditations and your own spirit. Then he says in verse 3, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ. Where Christ in verse 1, with Christ in verse 2. Would you note that? Because it's hid with him. I was reading, preaching a message on 1 Kings chapter 17, and I thought about Elijah. God told him, he said, go hide thyself. I think we've got to go hide so people can only see Jesus. We are people today who want to be seen, want to be known. I had a fellow say, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I thought, you don't have it to spare. Better hang on to it. And sometimes we have to be seen. God says, go hide yourself so God can be seen. Jesus can be seen. I wonder, is there no room in your life this morning for him to be seen? I wonder if there's no room in my life for him to be seen because there's too much of John Stevens. Notice thirdly, not only do I see where Christ, with Christ, and when Christ. Look over there in verse 4. When Christ, with Christ, or where Christ, with Christ, when Christ. You know he's coming back. Now we had all kinds of date setters around here, don't we? That fellow out there camping, California, he decided to set a date. Then he says, whoops, I made a mistake, and they gave you a new date. You know God never makes a mistake. I don't know when he's coming, but I know he's coming. And I'm rejoicing. When Christ, would you note this? Would you read that with me? Read aloud with me. When Christ, you're not reading aloud with me. What's wrong? Don't you have a Bible? Ready, go, get set, go. When Christ, our life. Oh, I fouled you up, didn't I? Notice what who is, what's that in? That means it's not in the original. Could you remove it right now? I'm not tampering with the Word of God because the truth of that sentence really comes out. When Christ, our life. It's all about Him. Not about us. He's my life. Everything I have in this life, everything that I do, it's Him. I had somebody tell me not too long ago, he said, how do you get joy? How do you get joy? Well, that's very simple. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy what? Presence is fullness of joy. That's where it is. If you've lost your joy, it's because you've not in the other world. His presence is not felt in your spirit. That evidence is not there. I think joy is the evidence of the Spirit of God. I have to look back in my life and thank God for every trial. The joy that I got out of the trial. Now, it really wasn't what I wanted. You better learn to whip your children when they need it. Now, my children, when they're whipped, they've never said thank you. I mean, I put Tim across my knee a few times. He didn't look up, say, Dad, hit me again. But later on, he was thankful. There's the joy. God knows what is best for us. So we have here the place of spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Him, and thirdly, in the Holy Ghost. Now, not going back to our passage, but think with me a moment. At the end of that first chapter of Ephesians, he talks about the ministry of the Holy Ghost. I hope you believe in the ministry of the Holy Ghost. The human spirit fails unless the Holy Spirit fills. I want to ask you a question. Can you say, I'm filled with the Spirit this morning? There can be no filling of the Spirit unless there be the emptiness of self. You can't fill up something that's already got. They gave me a bottle of water here. I don't drink that while I'm preaching, but after all, I'll probably need it. But what brand is it? I'm just kidding. But, you know, I can't put anything else in there until I what? Empty it. You know, some of us are so full of self that we can't get the fullness of the Holy Ghost. I was thinking over there in the book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. John was speaking on the Isle of Patmos. By the way, John was going through some pretty tough times, wasn't he? We looked at 2 Corinthians 12. Paul was going through some pretty rough times, wasn't he? He says, I was in the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a great voice. You know, you're never going to hear the voice of God unless you're in the Spirit. Somebody asked me one day, and I hope you understand the context of this statement. They said, you have a deaf ministry. I said, yes. How many do you have? I said, about 650. They said, well, world, how big is your church? About 650. I'm convinced there are times that they don't hear what I've said. More importantly, they haven't heard what God said in His Word when I preach it. That's here. He said when he was in the Spirit, what happened? He heard. He heard. He heard. Can I say to us all today, there's a better preacher than is in this pulpit. He's called the Holy Ghost. He is the preacher of all preachers. And He preaches to us. Are you listening to His voice? For He has much to say, but you cannot be filled. My wife always worries when I get out behind the pulpit. You can't be filled with the Spirit of God if you're filled with grudges, anger, bitterness, self. Can't be filled with the Spirit of God when there's all these things still filled inside of you. I can't either. I can't either. I was kidding Brother Myers this morning. You'll forgive me for that, won't you, Brother Myers? Well, I'm not forgiving you. I just want to know. I'm just kidding with you. But he was talking about somebody here that he thought was younger than me, who was 8 years older than, 6 years older than me, and getting over that. But my point of it is that if I held grudges, seriously now, there's a lot of people who are holding grudges in every church, probably in this church. They can't be filled with the Holy Ghost. Till they empty themselves of self. Grudges, prejudices, bitternesses. Matter of fact, he's going to deal with that in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. But go back with me to back the book of Ephesians. I'll do the others not quite as much in-depth as I have that one. But I not only see here the place of spiritual blessings, but think with me of the people's spiritual blessings. Paul, verse 1, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints. Now let me tell you what a saint is, S-A-I-N-T. I like to do acrostics, and I'm going to do one right now. What's a saint? S, he's saved. Isn't that great? My mother, bless her heart, mom raised three boys, by herself for part of the time. Then she married a drunkard. He reached across the kitchen table one morning to get the cup of coffee and didn't even touch that cup of coffee. Died of a heart attack after one drinking too much. Then a second stepfather, who also drank heavily, he He was Catholic, so she became a Catholic. At that time, she was basically nothing. Been better off if she'd have been nothing. I could have went her to the Lord better. But every time I dealt with salvation with my mother, she'd say, "Well, I take the sacraments." And one day I told her, I said, "Mama, you want to see a saint?" "Oh," she said, "I'd love to see a saint." I said, "You're looking at one." Well, she knew me. She's thinking to herself, "Well, you're the guy that," and on it goes. I'm not going to tell you what I used to do. But then I explained being saved. That's what a saint is. He is not only saved, he's alive. You see, I'm sitting here, I'm alive. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you may be physically alive, but you are spiritually as dead as a doornail. You know, there's only one person ever born in the human race alive. His name was Jesus Christ. Everybody else, the only reason why he was born alive is because he didn't have a human father. So he passes the sin nature on down from Adam. Alive! You know, the world is one big spiritual casket. It's a graveyard. I've already said it, in Christ. You know that little word "in" is mentioned 27 times in chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. It's easy to remember. How many books are there in the New Testament? Somebody say it. Good. 27. 27 times. In. I thank God I'm in Christ. That's what a saint is. In, he's a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, a man in Christ, he's a new creature. That is, he has a new destination. Old things are passed away as new devotion. All things become new. He has new desires. Well, I remember when I got saved. I did some things, and you know, God just began to change my life. And I want to hope you understand by this when I make this statement. It's good to have, it's good you look around, and I remember some folk coming to our church. A fellow had the longest hair you ever wanted to see. But he was welcome. Hello. He got saved. He should cut his hair. Didn't have to tell him. He looked around and he said, "Boy, I kind of feel out of place." New creation. T. Yes. Saved. A. Alive. I. In Christ. N. New creation. T. A testimony of God's grace. You know that you're a miracle. You're a miracle of God. Then I look here, the product of your spiritual blessings, not only in the heavenlies, where it is, the place of those that in the heavenlies, in Him, in the Holy Ghost, the people, the saints, but notice here the product of the two words there in verse 8, verse 2 as we close, grace and peace. I like grace, don't you? Grace is vertical. Look at my hand now. Grace is vertical, coming down from heaven, and peace is what? Horizontal. That forms a cross. Thank God for His grace. I don't know about you, but a lot of times I will just take a walk and think, "God, why me?" You know, most of us are going to say, why all these problems are upon me? I'm saying, why save me? Why me? Why am I in your family? And by the way, thank God for the family of God. His church is a family. His church is a family. Somebody said, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a good definition of grace. He did it all. Then I think of that word peace. Now the Bible speaks of three kinds of peace. Why close here this morning? Go to Ephesians or go to Romans chapter 5 with me rather quickly. You have the first. You have peace with God. Look there in Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified faith, we have what? Peace, where? With God. By the way, that's eternal. Never going to lose it. Isn't that great? Never going to lose that. I believe in the security of the believer because he secures me as nothing I've done, nothing I can do, and I've got peace. And I'm glad for that. And then I go to the book of the book of Philippians chapter 4. I see the other two. Peace with God, that's eternal. Then I go to chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7. I see the peace of God, that's internal. You know, a lot of people don't have the peace of God. They got peace with God. I've never seen such a tranquilized society in which we live. I mean, I like what Vance Havner said. They said they call them wonder drugs. You take them and you wonder what's going to happen to you next. You got a drugged up society. I don't misunderstand me. I think if you need to go to a doctor, go to a doctor and he'll give you what you need, but you better be careful. We come over here, I want to give you the best drug that you can get, the best medicine for all the cures of your life. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There it is. Take it to God. Go to the third heaven. Go to the heavenly place. Go in Him. Go there, travel there with a creature called the Holy Ghost. And notice what He says in verse 7. What? The what? The peace of what? God. Now that's the peace of God. That what? What does it say? It passes all understanding. You know, you can be going through something, and you know the average person going through, oh, woe is me, and it looks like he's been baptized in lemon juice. And you take the one who has visited the third heaven, you never know he's got a problem because he's given it to the Lord. He's living up there with Him at His throne. And then you not only have peace with God, eternal, a peace of God internal, but you have the God of peace external. Look there in verse 8 and 9 as we close. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what? What do you do? Think on those things. What's your thinking process? Do you ever have to talk back to yourself? I've had to talk back to myself. Read Psalm 40. As the heart panteth after the water brook, is that 42? Somebody ought. 42 or 40? You don't know? Okay, it's one of those. What? Read them both. The heart panteth after the water brook. It's the fellow who's talking to himself. He said, why art thou disquieted within? Why are you so cast down? I, not too long ago, got in front of the mirror and I said, look stupid. Quit living down here and enduring down here and get back up there where you belong. Boy, that made a difference in my countenance. Because he says there in verse 9, where these things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me and the God of peace shall be with you. I mean, it's going to show up on your face. Remember when Cain didn't give the right offering over there in the fourth chapter. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And he says, why is thy face fallen? That's word countenance. It's going to show up. It's going to show up. So I pray today that you're in that heavenly place, in Him, in the Holy Ghost. And as a saint, you're experiencing that grace. At peace, not just peace with God, of God, and the God of peace. Father, I pray this morning as we close this service that you'll deal with our hearts.